This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is that the Mickey Redmond bobblehead? One more time. Yeah. Holy mackerel is right. Good morning, 97.1. We're talking a little hockey today. It's middle of the week. The Wings are just getting back from a West Coast swing. They'll play at home tomorrow night, and then the trip went as poorly as it could go. They've played as poorly as you could. They're the worst team in the Eastern Conference, and this is year six for Steve Yzerman. Everybody wants Lalonde fired. I think if you took a poll of the fan base, it'd be the, 80% of them would want Lalonde gone?
I would be a high percentage.
Yeah, it'd be a high number. Meanwhile, a coach was fired yesterday in hockey. Boston fired Jim Montgomery, a guy with a 70 win percentage. A guy who in 184 games only lost 40 in regulation. That guy got fired. Meanwhile, Nuzi Lalonde presided over a choke at the end of last year and has them off to a terrible start this year. 15 coaches have been replaced in the last year, but this guy's special. This guy can't be let go. I'm supposed to believe that? And then I question Steve Yzerman, which I know is something that you have to be very careful with. You have to tread lightly. I will admit he knows more hockey than I do, but I watch this team and I wonder, 6 years in, are we off course right now?
Well, patience is running out. That's what it is. And I think there are more people. I mean, if you bring this conversation up on a yearly basis because we expect and want more from our hockey team. And in year five, okay, you can sit there and still be patient. Year six, patience is running out. And there are more people that instead of just blindly defending Steve Yzerman are starting to ask the questions.
Which is healthy, by the way. He's a legend. I grew up with the 90s Red Wings. Steve Yzerman holds a special place in my heart as a sports fan. But I want to see progress. I want to see the hockey team get back to that at some point. And I believed that Yzerman would do that. That's past tense. I think it's okay to question right now what the hell's going on. The goalie situation. Yeah, maybe a couple years from now, Kosa will be here and Augustine will be here. It'll be year eight. I would hope they're in the playoffs at that point. You know what I'm saying, John? They have two NHL defensemen. He drafted them both, but he also has the other four on this roster by choice. So, again, I don't know how to square that away. Offensively, Kasper's here, and I think he's playing like an NHLer, which is a good sign. But collectively, lines one through four, this team doesn't sustain pressure. They don't put pucks on the net. They don't score enough. They're a bad hockey team by every measure, and I think 5-on-5 is the truest measure, right? You can't fake it. No special teams. You're just not good enough.
A lot of it's the tone. The tone that was set at the end of the year. The fact that they refuse to say the expectations are more than what they were last year.
Yeah.
And if you're not going to set that expectation, then you're always giving yourself this out. This, oh, well, we thought we were going to be better and we're better in these areas, but we ultimately didn't accomplish the goal.
Do you agree with what I said, that he's preying on patience? Like he is preying on the fans' love of him, knowing he gets more time. He doesn't have to take risks, doesn't have to fire a coach, doesn't have to display any urgency because he knows he's got this fan base in the palm of his hands. And that bothers me because he shouldn't be doing that to these fans who love him. That's an abuse of how much this city loves Steve Yzerman for him to sit on his hands. Why does Lalonde have a job today?
I'm a little reserved in saying that about Steve Yzerman because what I know about Steve is he is an unbelievable competitor.
Yeah.
He doesn't like losing games.
Right.
He doesn't like watching bad hockey. And so if that's the case, then I don't want my beliefs to be challenged.
Well, then what's the other explanation? Like, I don't think he's a malicious person, but I do think what's taking place right now is he is not showing any urgency 6 years in, and he's getting a free pass, and he's just accepting in that, right? He should be the one applying pressure to himself, and I don't see that in the actions this hockey team has taken in trades, in free agency, in coaching decisions, even going back before they hired Derek Lalonde.
Yeah.
Blasher was given more time than most thought. Steve's been incredibly patient, and I think the fan base has matched that level of patience, but it feels like he wants fans to be patient forever with no expiration date. That's a problem.
That's not just this season. It's the end of last season. So you're talking about, what, roughly a 40-game period now where they're going backwards.
Yeah.
And I just think at some point, you are year six. At what point do you just hold somebody accountable when you're going backwards and you're not where you thought you would be yet? And you got to take the name out of it. And I do think he's getting a free pass because of who he is. I mean, this is, I've said this to you guys before, I just can't get it out of my head that this is so comparable to Jim Harbaugh. This is like Jim Harbaugh's 2020, where they went 2-4 in the COVID year.
Bottom fell out.
And it was, there were people calling for his job. And he fixed it, and he fixed it fast.
And that's the key here. No one has called for Eisenman to be fired on this show, and I don't believe yet on this station.
I mean,
but there's a hard look in the mirror that needs to happen.
The quick fix is the coaching change here at this point. I don't think it's going to happen before Thursday, so then you see if they come out Thursday and play. You know, well, it's just the 5-on-5 play is just, this is not going to lead to winning hockey this year. And I don't know if a coach can change that. Maybe they can infuse some energy and you get that quick thing. But I think long term, this team has significant roster issues.
Whose fault is that?
That's Steve Yzerman's. I mean, the bridge players are failing.
Yeah,
this year. The bridge players kind of worked a little bit last year.
And that's what I tried to bring up in the offseason when people said he doesn't have the cap space. And I said, well, what do you mean? He signed these players. He doesn't have the cap space because of poor signings that he had made previously. It was his own damn fault. The consequences of his own actions that they couldn't do more last offseason, that he wasn't more creative with trades last offseason.
I think there's a real good question with this topic.
Okay.
Does he get year 7 no matter what?
I think so.
I think so, too. And I think it's because who he is. And he has a track record as a general manager. And
I want to see this through. I just want to see better.
Right.
That's all this means is I just want to see better. And I think everybody else who is fed up right now is of that same right to start expecting things 6 seasons in. Let's get to Quinn on a cell. Quinn, good morning. You're on 97.1.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, what's
good.
Up?
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
So I actually thought that point of the preying on patience was pretty spot on. Last season, we won the sweepstakes for Kane, and that gave our team this giant uplifting boost that we rode until at least February, until we lost 15 of the last 25 games. I think Steve knew this going into the year. This team is just showing who they really are now. I think last year it was uplifted. It wasn't really how good we were. I think he is preying on patience. I think this year is basically a gap year, and we're going to go from there. I just don't think Steve thought we had enough even from last season. I think he's not doing a full reset, but I think it's going to be a half reset where he keeps Sherratt and Petrie for now, but then just reloads everything with Larkin, Raymond, Sider, and Edvinson. That's what I believe.
We really are sounding like Michigan football back in the day. Next year's the year. There's always next year. Like, I would love to believe that year 7 is the year. I don't know why I should believe that at this point.
Well, and I mean, we go to everything that we've said. Everything we've said about all the GMs in this city.
Yeah.
Actions speak louder than words.
Right.
And I know that we saw the actions in Tampa. I know something about Steve Yzerman, but the actions don't show or don't back up what I believe, and it's starting to chip away at it.
Well, and that's why I question things. Like, I held him in as high a regard as I could a Detroit athlete and a Detroit executive. But if you don't see results, like, you'd be silly to not at least look at it and ask, was I wrong? Was I giving him too much credit? The benefit of the doubt that he has yet to earn. Again, 6 years in. Let's get back to the phones. Craig, you're on 97.1.
Hey, how you guys doing? Thanks for taking my call.
What's up?
Hey, I just wanted to take you back to the end of last year. It sticks out to me. Malone, basically, when they were on the playoff push, I don't know if you guys recall or not, but he basically made a comment, something along the lines that, you know, nobody had us in this position. We're lucky to be here. And I think that alone should have been grounds for him not to return at the start of this year. I just don't think in professional sports a coach can come out like that and basically and make a comment like that. And then it gets you really thinking about Yzerman. And you know, there's kind of an analogy here. It's like having your business and bringing in somebody from your family to work, and it doesn't work out. now you have this awkward situation, which I love Stevie. He was the best, he could arguably the best Red Wing in Red Wings history. But you look at the rafters and you see that jersey retired hanging there, and it kind of, the longer this drags out, the more the legacy, not from a player standpoint, but, there's that part of it where it's looking, it's just a really bad taste in your mouth, and the intensity. And I think more so like the intensity on the, night in, night out. I agree with the last caller. Like, I think that came, last year kind of, added a jolt of intensity. This year, you're not seeing it. I think players are just getting like very just, lackadaisical out there. There's no intensity. There's no firing around. There's no toughness. And that goes back to Stevie. I know the playoff push. You have to look at a playoff roster. You got to have, I hate to say grit, but you have to have it. You have to have physicality. You have to have these guys that when scrums break out, your guys like Larkin and Raymond aren't getting, headlocked. And, we don't have that.
Craig, I
we
think it's twofold. We'll use grit because it's the popular word these days. I think it's grit on the ice in the dirty areas and the forecheck. If you're going to dump, you're going to need to chase. You're going to need to be physical. You need to finish checks, all that stuff. I also think there's a grit, like emotionally, that this team is missing right now. I'm not calling out Dylan Larkin. I think there's a lot of guys who are soft-spoken captains, but then you have to have a lieutenant, that assistant, that guy with an A, someone else in the locker room, a wild card, someone who can occasionally put a little hellfire and brimstone, because it's not coming from the coach. I mean, that's the other part of this. If you had a coach who was a foil to Dylan Larkin, right? Coach gets on him, but Larkin's got their back, and you've got this yin and yang where you can pull the most out of the locker room. They're not getting the most out of this roster. They're not.
No, and last comment for me right now. When you don't want to give false hope, because everybody's going to bring up what Lalonde said at the end of the season, what Steve Yzerman has said. You don't want to give false hope, but you also have to have a measure of leadership and confidence. And there's, I don't know that there's anything that they have said that makes you believe that there is confidence. But again, we go to actions versus words.
Phone calls, we'll get to them next, 97.1.
You've heard me talk about injury attorney David Femeninio for quite some time now. Just listen to some of the results that David and his team have been able to get for injured clients. Here's three examples. $3.5 million and $5 million for individual clients. $11.5 million for an individual client. You need an attorney that will fight relentlessly just like that for you. You can call and speak to David right now by calling 855-65-CRASH, or you can always go to his website, getdavidgetpaid.com. That number again, 855-65-CRASH, or on the website at getdavidgetpaid.com.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
All right, read some ticket text talking Red Wings hockey today. Iser plan off course. What now? I know questioning Iserman is sacrilegious. Hell, I mean, I grew up, he was basically an idol in my house. I don't want this to fail. I'm a season ticket holder. I want it to work so bad. And they're the worst team in the Eastern Conference. And still, Lalonde has the job. Other teams are firing coaches. And you question urgency. And I did bring up that I think there's an element of preying on the patience. This fan base is going to give him a long leash. And I think at times he's taken advantage of it by not being more urgent.
Well, and the sense of urgency doesn't feel like it's there, but it's the tone that they have set. Whether it's Steve Yzerman and his lack of being able to say the words, our expectation is the playoffs, or Lalonde. He, when he joined us before the season, we were out at the golf course.
Like Lalonde the person.
Oh, there's no question. That's not
what this is about.
No, no. But what he came up short of saying the expectations are that we're a playoff team. Like at some point, it's okay to set expectations.
Even Iserman. Wojo asked him when the season's over. The P word is how Wojo phrases it, because you know Wojo. And Iserman said, no, you could say playoffs, but he said, I hope to make the playoffs. I hope to. Well, how about you expect to? How about you plan on charting a course this offseason where you will make the necessary moves? Again, you're a point away. You're going to use this offseason. Your big hockey brain. You're smarter than all of us. You're going to be a little more aggressive. You're going to have a little more urgency. Patrick Kane's not a spring chicken. You're bringing him back. Try to win while you've got him, while your young guys are here, while Edvinson has, you know, an NHL season that he can really sink his teeth into. Sider's here. Raymond's here. You paid both of them. Dylan Larkin has been here long enough. When does he get to taste postseason hockey again? Like, there are no excuses for Steve Yzerman at this point. I'll give him year seven. I think most people want to see this work. I think it's fair to question at this point, when will he display a level of urgency that the fan base expects?
Well, and so you think about year seven. And it's way too early to be talking about year seven, but between now and then, sure, there can be a lot of moves. But do you have faith that he'll make them? The track record says no, that there's just going to be a whole bunch of little moves again to get marginally better, and marginally better probably doesn't even put you in the playoffs.
He's right, people. Chris in Ypsilanti. Chris, you're on 97.1.
Hey, good morning, fellas. So on the wings, one thing that I've noticed is that there's clearly a disconnect between Yzerman and Newsy when it comes to the on-ice product. And I want to draw a comparison to the other major franchises that we have in Detroit, specifically the Lions and the Tigers. When you listen to Holmes and Scott Harris speak about roster construction and off-season plans, there's clearly a lot of communication about what the team needs, who the team is, and who they should target. I mean, Holmes and Campbell are in constant communication about who they should target at the trade deadline, et cetera, et cetera. But when Yzerman was asked about, you know, does he have Newsy in the room when trying to figure out who they should target in the offseason, he flatly said, no, like, I pick the players, he coaches the players. And so then we have this, like, disconnect on who should be playing what positions and when. And last year, Hall rode the bench like the whole year, despite having a $3 million cap hit. That's a big number in the NHL. Yeah. So like, there's this, like, they're just off rhythm with each other. And I'm not sure if there's any shared vision for what this team is going to be in the near term. There's clearly a vision for the long term, right? Yzerman has this type. Nate Danielson, Marco Casper, like 200-foot, Michael Brantigniker, these 200-foot players, right? There's clearly a vision there. Awesome, great. But for the near term, for the right now, I don't think there's any shared vision. I think we're just trying to, like, bide our time for the kids to come up. And you're seeing it on the ice. Like, the product here just doesn't make a lot of sense.
Yeah, I agree with what you're saying. I mean, big defenseman on the blue line, 200-foot forwards, goalies. He's got two of them that people are very excited about. The problem, though, is it does turn into, okay, it's prospects. They're not all going to pan out. They're not all going to be stars. And in the meantime, you do also have to manage the NHL club. You do need to put the best product you can on the NHL club. And if there is a disconnect, all the more reason to make a coaching change. I mean, I feel like that's even more of a reason to see something happen. A couple quick texts. We got to keep the show moving. Texter says, I'm not a hockey fan, but Lalonde does not project confidence. It's just someone from the outside looking in. Mm-hmm. Texter says, the scary part is Larkin scoring almost every game. DeBrinket's even scoring two. Where are the improvements going to come from if they're going to get any better? Well, it's the depth that's clearly not there right now. Texter says, Jim, Yzerman isn't preying on fans. That's unfair. Changes need to happen, yes, but I doubt Yzerman has the fans in mind when he's building the team. No, I don't think he does either. What I'm trying to articulate is I think he is in an advantage position that most general managers in all of sports do not exist in.
Whether he admits it or not, he knows he has time.
Yes. Most teams would fire a general manager 6 years in that's not making the playoffs. Most teams in most sports. I mean, definitely in football. Come on, 6 years is ridiculous. Nobody gets 6 years. And I know it takes longer in hockey, but 6 years is a long time to miss the playoffs. And the streak goes back even longer, not holding him accountable to that. But John, most GMs would be forced to be more urgent. Most GMs have to go, hey, I know I got a 15-year plan. I got to put a 15-month plan into place as well. And Yzerman has had no pressure to put a 15-month plan, period. And I think he has taken advantage of that. And the victim in all of this, you, me, and everybody else that cares about hockey.
Al Avila got 7 years.
The point of that is?
I'm just saying. It does happen. Same owner.
Well, you said it. 248-539-9797. Let's get some of Heather's news in the mix.
All right, so if you were mad, you were frustrated, you were angry while you were attempting to watch the Mike Tyson-Jake Paul fight, there could be something you could do about it, because there is a Florida man who has now filed a class action lawsuit calling Netflix failure legendary, and this guy is suing for breach of contract and other offenses, and he's seeking unspecified damages. So you could become part of this class action lawsuit. Okay. Maybe you could get...
Just because of the streaming failure?
Yeah.
Not necessarily just the product.
Well, no, it's more it's more Netflix's streaming, you know, buffering and failure
dropping.
To provide the show it was supposed to provide. The fight itself, yeah, that's another story.
Yeah.
But no, this guy is suing Netflix. Now, Netflix has kind of acknowledged, obviously, that some of the people watching had some bad experiences, but they still are considering it a pretty huge success. They're now also claiming that 108 million people watched the fight. That's up from the 60 million previously reported.
Oh, I believe it. It was a cultural phenomenon.
Too. Oh, sure.
I believe it as well.
I mean, in our house, we were two different devices trying to get one of them to just stream. We had the TV and a laptop. You just want to watch the fight.
Well,
you were making the problem worse.
You were probably frustrated, so maybe you get some money back.
All the people were doing that as well, making it worse. It was compounding interest.
You're right about that. Yep.
Jason Kelce has been making waves off the field since retiring back in March. He's part of ESPN's Monday Night Countdown, and he brings some of his humor, his personality, and his football expertise to the national audience. And on Monday, he added something new,
a world record.
Yeah,
this is awesome.
To his football resume. So before the Texans faced the Cowboys, Kelce teamed up with Dude Perfect to break a record of the longest thrown and caught hot dog into a bun.
Right. So he was holding the bun.
Yeah. So he had the bun ready to catch the football.
Yeah.
The hot dog.
The hot dog, yes.
And he did that. Dude Perfect launched the hot dog 167 feet. Kelce stood there waiting with the bun in hand, caught it, setting a new world record.
It was silly, it was fun. Yeah, but that's what he brings is not just the football expertise, but the personality is what people love.
Exactly. So a gruesome accident took place at a food product supplier after an employee became trapped in a machine Monday afternoon. Yikes, happened in Detroit. The incident happened at Hacienda Mexican Foods. They produce, I believe, tortilla chips. Fire crews from the Detroit Fire Department were able to pull this employee from the machine before transporting him to the hospital for treatment. They did not disclose when or where the amputation happened, but they did confirm that the man's arm was removed.
Mm.
Gruesome. Now,
that's pretty gruesome.
Now, speaking of injuries, I've got another one to report. Jay Leno.
Yeah.
He just can't seem to stop hurting himself. He's been kind of accident prone lately. He was spotted on Monday night in Beverly Hills with an eye patch and bruising all over the side of his face. And apparently he fell down a hill at a hotel. I guess he was trying to take some sort of shortcut to get to a restaurant rather than walk down the actual path. He wiped out, hit his head on a rock, gave himself a black eye and just bruising. He did have to go to the hospital, but he performed first and then went to the hospital. And he says it's not going to slow him down. He's not going to miss any other shows. He says not a big deal at all, but he's had those accidents. He burned his hands and his face.
Yeah.
With
his cars.
Yes, and then he had broken bones when he got knocked off of a motorcycle.
Right.
And now this.
So. I love the fact that he's just going to keep doing the things that he loves.
For sure.
Just keep doing it.
Bumps and bruises and all.
Yep.
Comes with the territory. Heather with the news. All right. We've got the power surge coming up next. And this week, well, no surprise, Lions will be number one. Kansas City lost. How far down does KC fall? What about the Steelers? How much love do we give to what's going on in Pittsburgh? And what's the deal with Baltimore? That and more. Power surge is next. It's 97.1. Dive into the best pool in history. It's Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino, where you can catch the biggest games at a viewing experience that's built for the sports fan. Six pools, three different levels, always a perfect view of that massive 40-foot-tall, high-definition screen. Sounds like paradise. It is. Come see it for yourself. It's Stadium Swim, America's favorite place to watch football. Could be any sport, though, really. All year round, they've got the swim-up bars, the Insta-ready selfie walls, and a nonstop party. So when you get there, you're going to look for your spot. Maybe it's the cozy day beds. They've got private cabanas. You can do it in luxury. Or you can just find a spot at the center of the action and watch the games, but reserve your place today. Start planning that trip. It's 365 days of sports. How else? Poolside, Circa Resort and Casino, downtown Las Vegas on Fremont Street. It's Stadium Swim, all sports, all seasons. Book your spot today, CircaLasVegas.com. Last night, we got a rankings reveal in college football. John and I talked all about it. If you missed it, Odyssey Rewind, go back a couple hours ago. 7 o'clock, really got into the meat of it. Debate about Indiana and the clutter with the SEC, auto bids, auto buys. What if you lose a conference title game? Good convo. If you missed it, go back and get it.
Who gets the participation trophy?
This classic debate over what is participation. So you think putting a Big 12 in is participation. I think when you want to put a fifth team from a conference, they are merely in because they participate, not because they win.
Mm. Yeah.
But a good spirited debate nonetheless.
Yes. I know as soon as I say that, I fire you up and I know I fire Greg up. Greg just is so annoyed.
He hates that too. Speaking of things that get me fired up, the Tigers have a big offseason addition that we can discuss.
Really?
Yes.
What is it?
John, they have new premium seating.
Tell me more about it.
I will, but I do want to know some self-reflectiveness here. Is it ridiculous that this bothers me? It's a question for the audience more than you. I know what your answer is.
No, I don't think it's ridiculous that it bothers you.
So on surface, I don't have an issue with new scoreboards and new showers and new team planes and like investing in the facilities. The home plate club is the latest announcement. You may have seen some photos. They got the cranes out there. They're digging up the field. These home plate club seats are the first ever all season seat, cutting edge luxury seats, 21% wider, wider armrests, built in cup holders. And John, here's the best detail. Ass cooling technology. Cooling your seat on a hot July day. You can heat them up too if you get there in April or late in the season for the playoffs. Heating and cooling in the premium VIP seats with your own private entrance.
I think it's cool. And I'm gonna. I'll be very surface level on this. I know what your reaction is going to be, and I'll let you jump on that bus in just a moment. They announced that they were going to do this back in June. Before the team went on a run. Then it goes on a run, and they have not done anything to make this team better. They haven't done anything to make it worse yet. There's still a lot of actions that can be taken. I understand the perception of time in regards to when this was announced, and they have not yet signed anybody on free agency. They haven't made any decisions about Javi. In fact, the decision we think they may have made was to keep him. But there has been no other signings in Major League Baseball. So I'm not going to jump down their throats yet about the timing of this announcement or improving the seats before they improve the roster.
21% wider seats. How about 20% more talent on the baseball team? The optics look bad. They're flooded with comments. I'm not going to read all of them, John, but they are flooded with comments when they announce this, and they are all of the same tone. Spend the money on the product on the field. All this other stuff's good, but it's hollow if you don't spend the money on the field. So when I see it, it does, and I know maybe irrationally, rile me up because they still have a chance this offseason to add one high impact bat. And we asked this a couple weeks ago, was that out of line for me to ask for one high impact bat? And John, I think most people said, no, that's a reasonable ask for you as a fan of this baseball team. Coming off an ALDS, one game away from an ALCS season. Add real payroll in the form of real talent. Don't just spend to spend. Pick your favorite of the several high-level impact bats available in free agency and add them to this team. The frustration comes because last year they added a scoreboard, but not a third baseman, right? Last year they added Showers in Lakeland, which I'm sure maybe they were overdue, sure. But they didn't add proven major league talent to this team. And I want that so bad for this team this offseason. I think many of you feel the same way. Does it land as tone deaf when you see them flaunting ass-cooling technology at Comerica Park? I know, John, I know that this may be around season ticket renewal or some kind of marketing. It's not good PR when you haven't added to the team and you're talking about all the ways you can now charge your fans more money to go to the ballpark.
For the small percentage that will even look at these tickets, I'm just not going to lose any thought or stress out about the fact that they haven't yet spent in free agency, or if they will spend in free agency versus them improving the stadium. It's just not where I'm at right now. I don't want to give it energy. I don't care. They're not tickets that I would go out and spend money on. Somebody will. It's probably going to be more like suites
corporate
where
stuff.
It's just
yeah.
all corporate.
Yeah.
So it doesn't affect me.
248-539-9797. Mike in Clarkston. Blurred the two words. Mike, what's up? You're on 97.1.
Yeah, I've been a season ticket holder for 20 years. I'm one of the season ticket holders that's being affected by the new construction down there behind home plate.
Yeah.
What I don't know if this has been stated, but I have four seats. My season ticket price went from $35,000 to $215,000. So it's not coming without a huge price tag that just prices out the average season ticket holder.
Right. It's going to become completely corporate. It's corporate seating.
Yep, absolutely. So it's kind of sad. You know, it was good while it lasted, I suppose, but a little bit disenchanted with the major price increase.
Are you considering renewing your season tickets in a different location, or you're done?
I'm thinking about it just because of how well the team did
right
here at the end of last season. But you know, it's going to be a hard decision.
How long have you? You may have said this. How long have you been a season ticket holder?
Since 2006.
Okay.
Yeah, so you've been around for
18 years.
Yeah, a long ride here. Some highs and some lows, and yeah, this one's going to price you out of your seats. Listen, if they're good, people will show up. I have no doubt about that. If they win and we saw it late in the season, people will show up. And Mike, it may be in different seats at that point for you. But I get what you're saying, because I think this gets billed as, look what they're doing for the fans. Look at how cool this is. Heating and cooling and plush seating and extra comfort. And the reality is they're doing that and they're going to charge you for that. They're not doing this out of the goodness of their heart to give you a better seat. They're doing this to make more money. And then the question is, what are they doing with the money? And that's when it gets me all riled up and worked up again.
Yeah.
So
they'll get the money. It's 7X what I was paying.
Yeah. Wow. And your private entrance to go with the butler to serve you and drive you to the games. I'm sure all of that.
Stony.
Yeah. Are they putting in a helicopter pad for him?
Yeah. Is there a moat to keep the unwashed
field?
Yeah.
Jim, I think for now you're overreacting to this. And the reason is that you got to let us offseason play out. My gut is telling me you're not going to get what you want.
Well,
in the
let's
off-season.
Not say you want. It's what we want. Fans have echoed that they also want it. So fans aren't going to get what they want, but they will get coolings and the seats.
Right. I
should be upset about that.
First off, maybe I think be upset with maybe the PR of it to a degree. Teams budget things for different things. This has nothing to do with the on the field product. It doesn't.
Agreed.
Like, they're not stealing the money from intended payroll to go to premium seating. So I don't know why you would use this. It cosmetically does it appear bad? That's why I use the word like the PR. Like, but why wouldn't you advertise that this is coming? They have to let guys that just called in know that, guess what, your seats are going up way exponentially.
So I'd imagine something like this comes with a frontline financial investment on the front end that they will recoup later with the season ticket price increases. So this does require a capital investment from the owner, right?
Correct.
Okay, so does free agency. So it all does distill up to one person's decisions with capital investment. It's not Scott Harris who's choosing to put these seats in, but it is Chris Illich's choice where he spends the capital from his pockets this offseason.
My read on the situation as a team and spending and reading between the lines of Scott Harris's comments is they're going to be a calculated spending baseball team. They're not going to do hobbies again unless it's a guarantee.
Well, there's no guarantees. So they're not going to spend.
Okay, there are zero guarantees, but there are.
So does one I would gamble on.
99%ers.
Yeah.
95%ers. Baez was I thought that was a big risk.
Sure.
I did. I didn't like him as a player.
Because of his approach at the plate. Yeah. Sure. Yeah. Yeah. There were concerns there for sure. People will make those concerns about Bregman. Oh, he's on the wrong side of 30. Alonso, too many strikeouts. Who's another one? Christian Walker. Boy, he's almost mid-30s at this point. I can't give him a multi-year deal. You can nitpick all these guys and convince yourself not to do anything if you really work at it. You can.
But here's the other thing. And we just talked to an individual that is going to be displaced. But you're talking about putting in 350 seats in this new home play club. I don't know how many that displaces. How many are they taking out to put in 350 seats? Obviously, the seats are bigger. Armrests are bigger. So there's not going to be as much real estate. But you're talking about a small percentage of the entire stadium.
But I think he does open up the conversation about your level of investment in this baseball team this season. And you do not have to make that decision today. Clearly, you can see what they do in the winter meetings, what they do with this roster. But, I mean, it does feel like this is a critical juncture for fans and their financial commitment to this team. They want to see it matched or exceeded by management.
Right, 350 of them.
248-539-9797. We'll get more of your thoughts, more of your phone calls. It impacts more than 350 people, John. It's 97.1.